I still believe that. That's that.
Like, come on, could've... how many times you're looking for something and it's right in front of you, but you can't see it.
No, I get that, but I'm talking about,
and that's like you're looking for it.
All right.
Well, thank you for watching and listening to your favorite podcast. This is the Maximum Filipino Show. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends about us. Like this video. Mm-hmm. Comment down below if you have any form of reaction, either violent reaction or agreement. My name is CB.
And I'm Waka.
Awesome. And today we're doing Afterflix.
Yeah.
Afterflix, it's a continuation of Disney Plus original. Disney Plus original series, Moon Knight. We are doing chapter 4. And I think the title is The Room. I mean, I thought it was Mirror because it makes more sense if it's Mirror. But then again, the whole series is just about mirrors. So yeah, this chapter 4, there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this chapter or in this episode. I was telling Waka that, man, if only... Now, I mean, the pilot episode of this show is very intriguing, and it's all right. You know, it doesn't have a shock value of, I guess, my benchmark, and I think it's your benchmark too, of good intro or pilot episode is The Boys pilot episode. That's like give you the shock value right away. Like, boom, right there. This is going to be the... You know, this is gonna be the story. This is how this whole show is gonna be. So the pilot episode of this show has that. All right, this is intriguing. This is okay. Something's happening. But if they turned episode 4, to a pilot episode with the hippo god, man, holy smokes, that would be like, yo, what's up? This is definitely happening. All right. Well, let's talk about this episode. Yeah. What do you think?
It was watching it several times just to get it. It's still intriguing. It's still like, man, there's so much in this episode. So let's start off as it introduced itself while one of the gods, I forgot his name, was it Horus or...
Cyrus,
the business dude. He walks in with the little stone of Khonshu and shelved. Now, it just took me back to where New Rockstar, not sponsored by them, but New Rockstar's point of view, that all the gods were on the floor in that very same chamber, the same room. But then they took Khonshu to a different room with the shelved among other stones. Makes me assume that all the other gods are right there, all the special ones. And it led back into the continuation of the last episode where you see Steven, Mark knocked out on the floor while...
Oh, hold on. You're doing the breakout now. I was just asking, like, what do you think about the episode in itself?
I said it was all cool.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot. I watched it 3 times, and then every time it gets to the last part of the episode, I just think about that hippo.
Yeah, just the hippo. Yeah. So the episode was it's a lot. Like if there's something that I would tell people to watch Moon Knight, and I will tell them, you know, just wait in the episode 4. Or, I mean, it's probably not going to be worth it because per episode is like 40 to 50 minutes. So for you to wait to episode 4, that's, you know, that's about 4 hours of wasted time waiting for that thing to happen. But the episode 4 really gave us like a lot of stuff. Like, this is going to be like, things are going to get real. And it opened up so many questions and so many possibilities of what's going on and what's happening and whose ability is whose, or what are we seeing in here. So this episode is truly the the climax of the whole series. This is like the climax of the whole series, where not that it's going downhill from there, but it's more of a this is the peak and this is what we're gonna give you, and the most likely it's gonna give us the real villain of the whole story, because so far the villain that they're showing us is just Harrow. That's the villain, slash Amit, right? Unless they just, you know, like a movie trope where Amit's gonna be released, and that will be the true villain, or it will show us that nope, there's an actual villain that there's gonna be in the show besides Amit, or maybe it is Khonshu, or I don't know. But let's talk about the breakout or scene. I don't want to say scene by scene, but moments by moments of the whole episode. So episode 4. All right. So you said that it started off with Osiris. You know, we left off from the chapter or episode 3, where they locked Khonshu in a rock, and now we're seeing Osiris carrying Khonshu, and it's always been a common thing in the show where it's either a reflection or something that they're upside down. So that's how it started, that it's upside down.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's not really any meaning to it, I guess, or unless they haven't told us, like, this is the reason why we're doing this. You know, for example, if someone is distressed, every time that there's a distress moment, it's upside down. When everything is good, it's in the proper position.
Right.
There's some movies where, what was that movie? If it's facing, there's some shows, I forgot what it was, but there are some shows where the main character is always facing right, and then the villain's always facing left. No matter what the scene is, it's always like turning left or facing left, or it's always on the left side of the camera or left side of the screen and things like that. So in this show they haven't explained yet why they kept doing the upside down, either on reflection. We know about the mirrors, right? Especially on Mark / Steven, that it shows that there's multiple personalities in him. But yeah, they haven't explained it yet.
No. And I assume when you mentioned it, I assume that they are just trying to continue what they started, of trying to show some kind of switch or mirror in a way. And, you know, the upside down is also another form or what's the word? Symbolic version of the other side of the world, or the mirror world. Yeah, there's that.
So you talked about and it showed in that episode where Osiris scaring Khonshu, put him in the shelf, where there's other gods, which wasn't clear who are the other gods, but there are other gods that are supposedly or allegedly stuck in a rock. Or imprisoned in the rock.
Yeah, their version of imprisonment, that they take out their existence and form it into a stone and shelve them. It makes sense of probably that's where all the other gods are missing, because you know how they have mentioned twice, well, not twice, mentioned about their other gods, and what's his name from New Rockstar mentioned there were other main gods, and Horus the bird, right?
I have no idea.
Well, the bird god was supposed to be a side character or a side god until he probably filled a position among the greater gods, since the other gods may have been stoned. Who knows? Don't know. But yeah, there's that other gods that we probably will never meet. And then what happened next?
All right. So from there, we went back to the continuation of the episode 3 with Layla and Mark stuck in a desert in Egypt. Just them, and Mark / Steven is passed out in the sand. And Layla's trying to wake him up. It's like, Steven, it's funny because she's like trying to, Steven, Mark, wake up. Mark, Steven, wake up. You know, like she couldn't decide which one to call.
Yeah, like in the last episode, she started off by calling out for Steven. And then from the start of this episode, calling out for Mark. So you're right. Don't know where to start. Don't know where to who to reach out.
And then we saw some random terrorists, random characters that we don't know if they work for the Egyptian government or if they work for Harrow. Most likely with Harrow. Yeah, just show up. They just show up there
randomly.
Randomly, like they I mean, presumably they will be part of Harrow's team, but we don't know. We actually don't know. It's most likely they're part of Harrow's team. It's probably from the government, or it's probably from the half naked dude that you know, that they visited to look at the sarcophagus. We have no idea. They just showed up. They just started shooting at him. That scene does not make any sense.
I agree.
Scene is so much of a filler. That why are they there? Why is this scene exist? Why? Okay, I get it. Layla can kick butt. You know, can kick butt, and it's so clear further. You know, in the episodes, and we can talk about that more later. But it's so unnecessarily included in there.
I thought it was pretty dumb. Okay, well, one, it's dark. How would Layla know there were bullets on the back of the truck? They were too far apart. I mean, it was a glimpse where the truck just passed by and she just so happened to see bullets in the truck. And then, again, it was dark. And I find those two terrorists that randomly appeared to be stupid. There goes Layla running behind the car. And then they drove by the car, seeing nobody. And said, I saw someone running this way. Where did they go? Flashed the car. Yeah. Didn't think about getting out of the car. These guys had guns, so I'm assuming they had, like, handguns in them. Or, you know, they can pull out or some rifle and aim into the car. No. They just flashed the car, assumed there was no one there, and they kept driving around and pulled up on Mark Steven, whoever you want to call him, who we thought was knocked out. And then there goes Layla coming out in a flash. No pun intended, with a flash grenade, whatever you call it. What do you call those?
They're called man, I was just thinking about that. They was at the tip of my tongue.
Igniters?
No, they're shoot, what are they called?
They look like dynamite, but they just
hold on.
Flares.
Flares.
There you go.
Yeah, I just called flares.
Yeah, she pulls out a flare, gets shot by bullets. It's a dumb heroic moment to get rid of him. And those guys died pathetically. I mean, bullets? Does that really happen?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So it's just an instant drop of a flare.
How hot does that get? No, it wasn't like just a drop of a flare. Flares are...
extremely hot?
Extremely hot. Okay. It's maybe like a 10 times or 100 times more hotter than... You know, when you light up a match, uh-huh. right? A matchstick, that initial ignition, that is like almost like a flare. Mm. And that thing is extremely hot.
Okay. Well, that's, then that makes
that probably extremely, make extremely hot. Because that's like almost 100%... what is it called? Not pulverized. What do you call that powder...
Fine gunpowder.
Yeah, like gunpowder. Mm. Yeah, you know, when you put the things that you put in fireworks or gun or ammo. Yeah, they're like that. They're pure thing like that. It's extremely hot.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. And then makes sense. But still, those two terrorists died pathetically. I mean, man. But yeah, there's that. And then there goes Mark Steven waking up out of nowhere. Just what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then moving on to the next, where they are walking towards where they find the camp. Before the camp, they were talking. They're in the car. Yeah. They were in the car going to the camp. And there goes Mark and Steven talking to each other. Where Alayla's like, we need Mark, yeah? We're going to fight other people. We need Mark. And then Mark was like, hey, she's right. Take me in. But anyway, Steven doesn't want it. He's having a good chance to get with Layla. I think this is his moment to get with Layla, which almost happened. What do you think? Do you think Layla and Steven's going to happen?
So while they're driving, one of my favorite lines in the show is in there when Mark said, you're going to get her killed, you know, like the usual thing, you're going to get her killed. And, you know, I have to, you got to put me in. So I'll do this by myself. And, Layla said, so that's it. No. He said, we had a deal that once Khonshu's gone, he will leave me. Yeah. He will disappear. And then, Layla said, that's it. You're just gonna leave me. You're just gonna take him away from me or my life or something like that. Yeah. And then Steven said, didn't he already do that?
That was good.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Well, that was,
yeah, you got,
yeah.
She, that realization,
even,
like,
even Layla's like, yeah, you're right. you're actually right.
That was funny.
When they end up in the camp, I kind of assume that there will be more people in there. Like,
yeah.
I kind of assume that, you know, there'll be followers who are not army or soldiers. You know, they're just gonna be in the camp waiting for Harold to come back and show him the way.
What happened to all the Moses like people that was following him? Where did they go?
I don't know. It's. I feel like what happened was Harrow's like, oh, I found everything.
All right, you guys.
So now
fired.
You know. Now you guys can go and wait for me somewhere else, and we're gonna take care of all these.
Right.
So while they're doing that, while they're looking for stuff that they like clues and things like that, which is funny and so weird because everybody's gone, but the camels are still there. Like, I would assume that if he send them out, you know, camels will be with them. Or I don't know. It's something weird that all of these people just randomly disappeared. Or not randomly disappeared. They just all of a sudden disappeared.
Yeah, you would assume there'd be backup or something. Like, just still people in the camp, just chilling, waiting for orders. But they either all went inside, or like you said, they all disappeared, decided to wait for orders somewhere else.
Yeah, they're just gone. And while they were looking for clues, Mark showed up and started talking to Steven and telling him, you know, what's gonna happen and things like that. And it's basically like Steven telling Mark, don't worry, I'll take care of Layla.
Right.
It's okay, I'll take care of Layla. And then Mark said, are you in love with her? Are you in love with my wife? And he couldn't say anything, or, you know, it's just that weird conversation with yourself, of your own self, telling your own self, like, listen, are you in love with my wife? Like, technically speaking, she's our wife, you know? Like, I might have a different accent or different thinking as you, but I'm also with her, you know? And that's exactly what Layla said. I mean, you're kind of like him, you know?
But kind of not.
Yeah. You smell like him.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was like weird, but
of course you smell like him. What the heck? Because that's not even like, that's way more than just twins. It's not just twins.
That's
like,
it's the very same guy.
Yeah. It's I don't even know how to explain that. Like, that in itself is like, you can't say, oh, my twin Steven. No, there's 100% you.
Yeah, that's, You're loving the same guy with a different personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And then smell, like, what does he smell like? The sand? There was plenty of sand all around him. I don't know how the desert smells like, but...
Oh, I mean, I understood the smell. People have distinctive smell no matter...
Oh, I get
no
that.
No matter where you go.
I get that, but man, I just only imagine what kind of smell. But all I remember, he was covered in dust and sand.
Yeah, but she was really close to him, though.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close to an A-star.
Yeah.
A-list star.
I love that she tried to kiss him. She tried to kiss him first. And then he came clean. You know, like, hold up, before you kiss me, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to defend Mark, you know, and tell you that the reason why he left is to, I feel like that moment is not really just to avoid the kiss, but more like, okay, if we're going to start something, I'm going to come out clean and tell you everything that I know,
right,
and why he's doing what he's doing or why he has done anything that he has done. And also, it's like a moment for Steven telling Mark, hey, listen, I'm about to do something, but I'm going to give you, you know, I'm going to talk something good about you and tell you that the reason why you're doing this and this and that, you know, like it's just a compensation. It's like, yeah, I'm going to kiss your wife or our wife, but I'm going to do good, you know, I'm going to do good on you and that.
after that, they're having a weird argument. Like, it was not his choice for him to decide for me. As if she wanted Khonshu to make that work. Do you think she, like, after knowing that, low-key, she would like that?
I think she already works for him.
For Khonshu?
Yeah, I think it, at some weird point, I think she already works for a deity. Not necessarily with Khonshu, or it could be with Khonshu, but I think she already has an idea of what's going on, because for some reason she just appears out of nowhere. Like, she already knows where is he at, and I know she said that, oh, I tracked you with GPS, you know, and all that, but wherever Mark is or Steven is, she's just there. Appears there, you know. I think she already works for Khonshu, or she already has a connection with a Egyptian deity.
You couldn't give credit to her that she's just very smart.
Sure, yeah, I give you that, but it's the ability to know every single thing, and I mean, she's probably like been working with Mark, because she wasn't surprised when Moon Knight showed up. This four episodes of Moon Knight, we do not see a lot of the hero.
Mm-mm.
We don't see a lot of the hero, and we only see the human side of the hero.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of Oscar Isaac. We see a lot of Oscar Isaac, more than the Moon Knight, which I'm not complaining. You know, I'm totally fine with that as long as you deliver it well.
Mm.
And
he does.
He does. So with when it comes to Layla, I feel like Layla already has going on, like she's working with someone. I mean, we know that she has a connection with Madripoor, so there's that, you know, like there's a lot of things going on with this chick that we don't know about.
I was feeling the same thing.
I think this will be the biggest twist of the whole show, is there's something about her, you know what I mean, like there's something about this girl. I don't know, I feel like it's poorly written if she has same thing that Mark/Steven has, you know, like the multiple personality. That will be poorly written, but I think it has something to do with the Egyptian deity.
Maybe I was gonna say she probably could be a spy, like a Black Widow, but no, she, Black Widows are vicious, and she kinda knows how to hold herself.
Yeah, well, not just kinda, I mean, especially what happened after this. So after they kissed, this was so, I don't know if you noticed, but the way Disney/Marvel put details, they pay attention to details when it comes to, you know, to the shows. Mm. And specifically in this scene, when after they kissed, Layla jumped, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she jumped, you heard a thud. Right? That means she landed?
Yeah.
And then Steven got that moment of Mark and then punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, that's right.
And then after that, after the punch, we go in the Layla's perspective, still hanging, and then dropped. As soon as she dropped, she removed her thing, and then sand just fell. That means it's the same time timetable of Mark punching Steven. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like they pay attention to, they pay attention to details. Like they know, oh, so the punch, it also happened in Layla's perspective, not just in Steven's perspective. Mm. There was one thing that I noticed too. It's something that he said Something like, I feel like Steven said, "I will fall off the cliff for you." Or if I kissed her, that's it. She said, "If you kiss my wife, I will throw you off the cliff." Right? And what happened to Steven?
He fell.
Like, he fell off like a cliff, but he, like, Mark punched him and hurt him and threw him off the cliff. Like,
nice
he
catch.
Actually
nice
did.
Catch.
He actually did what he told what he told Steven. Yeah, it was like they pay attention to detail, so this is what's gonna happen.
And that was the first moment where you can see another aspect of controlling the body, because all we knew that they were just changing perspective, but now we know they can control their hands or their feet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a Steven, like, he was strong-willed to control Mark, like, he pay attention too right. much and so focused. There you go. He's too focused to control Mark and not get Mark
out,
take over him,
yeah.
right? But after the kiss, he was like,
yeah, kind of.
And then that was the moment when Mark's like, boom. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. It's like he got out of focus because of the kiss, and then Mark showed up and punched him.
I'm surprised he didn't take over the body instead of punching him.
Well, I think because Steven still has the full, you know, most of it control.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, he did what he promised. He came through. He came through.
Right, right.
He dropped him. I didn't realize about the whole jump off the cliff thing. That was funny.
Yeah, that's what Mark said. If you kiss my wife, I'm gonna throw you off the cliff, and that's exactly what he did.
Throw us off the cliff.
Yeah. So after that, my back itches and I can't reach it. So after that, we saw Layla wrote something on the on a tiger kind of looking
backward 31.
Yeah, it looks like a backward 31.
Yeah, it's like it was mirrored.
Well, it's a one with a three.
Yeah, but
backwards, like in the E kind of thing.
Yeah. But was it E first?
No, yeah. No, it's the one first and then
one,
three.
And three. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it is like a backwards 31 in a mirror.
So what was her dad's name?
Something Abdullah.
Abdullah.
Yeah.
That's right. He does much.
Kind of something.
Like, what does IE stand
for? Well, because he is, I'm sorry, he is Egyptian. The dad is Egyptian. That's why Layla can go around Egypt.
With a fake passport.
Yeah, that's why she knows everything. The tiger, right, where she wrote the letters.
Yes.
That is the same tiger in Aladdin that opened the gate for the treasure. Hence why Mark said, or Steven said, can you imagine if this thing gave us riddle? Don't get me wrong, I will crap my pants, but I'll be thrilled to answer his riddles.
Oh, nice. Mm,
that was in Aladdin.
Oh, that was nice.
Right?
What I was thinking about was the Sphinx, but I was like, that's not a Sphinx.
No, it was that tiger in the Aladdin.
Oh, nice, nice. That's a nice nod, I guess.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Disney has the rights for that because they have...
Right. I mean, I wonder if that's a real thing in Egyptian mythology. You know, that creature, the tiger creature, is the one that gives you, like riddles and gives you treasures.
Egypt mythology is not something we're familiar with compared to Norse and and Greek.
Well, we're only familiar with Norse because of movies, not right? really like reading it.
That's true.
Movies and books, you know. The Thor and Percy Jackson. Whatever that is. The Asgard, with Rick Rolden. Yeah, that's the only connection that we know.
Yeah, that's the name of those. Instead of Asgardians, the gods are called, or the people there are called Acers. Acers.
Oh, Acers, that's right. They are.
But
Acers. From there, we end up in a little maze. Yeah, in a little... It's like a kitchen kind of thing. Area.
I couldn't figure that out.
Or a sacrifice area.
I mean, maybe because the angle of the room, but I couldn't figure that out being what they figured it was. Well, especially Steven. He figured it was the Eye of Horus. But
I know, me neither. Like, I mean, first of all, the way he explained the Eye of Horrors, I didn't know that. I just thought it was just an eye.
Yeah, I thought so too. I didn't think it represents all these other parts of the body.
Right, right. And then but what was the longer part? It was the
tongue.
The tongue, yeah. I didn't know.
I thought it was just the part of the eyelash.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Otherwise, yeah, I didn't. I'm assuming it's because the angle of the cameras of how they try to picture the room. But I couldn't figure that out being the Eye of Horus.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, how Steven's point of view, he looked around and he just kind of just, and he starts drawing a perfect looking Eye of Horus.
Yeah, it was like, way too perfect.
I know. I thought he was tracing the...
Granted, it's probably not that hard to draw it, but he like drew it perfectly,
like the shape, the size.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how many, if he had to remember how to do that for that show, I wonder how many times he had to practice to get it a perfect. Unless he's an artist secretly, maybe. But yeah, unless he was tracing from the table.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or the whole thing is CGI,
right? And then boom, flash.
Yeah, it just shows in
and there. Yeah, the light that was random. Unless it was because his flashlight.
Yeah, yeah. And then we end up in this sacrificial areas or area of the whole cave.
Now, as they were going in, they were also hearing bullets or seeing proof of bullets.
Yeah,
which I know we're gonna get to it. It's trippy, and there's still not that many people, because that war leads to your question earlier. Where did the rest of them go? Like, this is a small room and there's not that many bodies laying on the ground. But yeah, they go to the sacrificial room and they see a mural of history. And as they are looking in the room, and Steven called it, he was like, I thought he was saying what he was saying because he was afraid. Like, I'm gonna say what I'm just seeing. There's bones, there's doors, blood. I don't know how he figured that out. Okay, there may be another way in. I'm like, how does that put together another way out? There's bones, blood, going on towards that same the door where the creature came out, or the zombie? Is it a zombie or a mummy?
No. So him finding out the room, I feel like it was more of he was in that awkward situation because of the conversation that he was having with Layla. To not make it awkward, he just so happened to look up and saw that doorway. It's like, how about that place? I'm going to check out that door.
That's what
it wasn't like he knew. He just having that conversation with Layla and it got awkward. So to get away from that awkwardness, he looked up and then saw the way.
Yeah, I was assuming he did that to try to find a different way because he was freaking out. It's like, who in their crazy mind will go towards a door that has a trail of blood and bones?
Yeah.
I mean, you're heading straight to danger. But what I'm trying to figure out, because knowing how smart he is, like, how did he put that together being, there might be another way. Like, there's another door somewhere. But yeah, you know, he probably coincidentally looked up and oh, there's another one right up there.
Yep. Well, because that's why he said, I'm going to check out that place. You know, like he didn't say that is the other way. He said, I'm going to check that out.
And he was right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was pure, you know, pure coincidence, pure luck, or he knew. But yeah, there's that. Now, this scene was trippy because I think either the zombie has or the mummy. Should we call it mummy? Because it's a...
Sure.
The mummy was limited to sight. Like, how can you not see Layla hiding on the ground?
While you're doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh man. My explanation with that is when you're too focused on what you're doing, whether it's right in front of you, you're not going to pay attention. Well, you're not going to see it.
I'm saying that her legs are sticking all the way out. That should be enough to see on your peripheral vision.
Well, yes and no. If that's something that you really like doing and you're into it, you're not going to see it.
I still believe that's
like, come on, how many times you're looking for something and it's right in front of you? but you can't see it.
No, I get that, but I'm talking about,
and that's like you're looking for it. Right. Let alone like you're doing something and it's right there.
Granted, you got a point right there. Now, how about when he actually heard something that Layla dropped? He should have seen it because he actually turned on the other side of the table where she was hiding on this side. I was like, she's not far enough not to be hidden. She should be able to...
You also have to consider the angle of the cameras. You know, like the angle of the camera that they're giving you is the angle where she's seen and he's whatever that creature is seen. But in his point of view, the table might be really long. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. You might be right.
Yeah. Because it really depends on the camera angle. Like from this camera angle, I can see the camera, right? From my point of view, I can see the camera. Mm-hmm. And that camera can see her and whatever that creature is. But I cannot see her because of the table. Mm. You know what I mean? Because also when she dropped it, he looked, you know, like slowly and... he didn't see her because it was the corner of the table based on the angle of the camera.
I guess you're right. I guess the camera is a representation of the eyesight of both where Layla is and the guy. Okay. Fair enough.
Right.
But I still believe that the mummy should have been able to see it. But then again, it's a mummy. It's probably stupid. Not very smart. Time has passed. Years and years have passed. So... he must have been very hungry.
I don't even know if he's eating them. I think he's just grabbing their whatever their body parts is and putting it somewhere.
You might be right, because when he went, what's his name? What's his face? Steven went up there and there was another body there already. And before they got caught, Steven's describing what's on the table, skin and this and that to keep you alive forever and ever.
Yeah.
Lizard skin or whatever. I'm like, he's probably experimenting on them. Probably.
Yeah. I don't think he's taking them. That creature actually reminds me of the movie Immortals. Is it Immortals? Immortals. Those titans that the Greek gods were fighting.
Immortals.
You probably seen it. It's Immortals. It's basically like the Greek gods. A younger version of them? Yeah, buffer looking with the gold-plated armors and weapons and things like that.
I thought it was Hercules.
No, that wasn't Hercules. That's Immortals, for sure.
Okay.
100% Immortals.
Yeah, the younger... Okay.
Yeah, and the titans or whatever, those creatures that attack them that's in the cage.
That's right.
Yeah, it reminds me of those, yeah.
What did you think about that movie? I know we're not talking about that, but...
Oh, it's a decent movie. Okay. Yeah, it's a really decent movie. I like the action scenes and the slow-mos and things. I'm a big fan of slow-mos in movies. I'm a huge fan. Like, I know a lot of people hate them, but I'm a big fan of slow-mos. Even in Transformers or Fast and Furious, you know, when the car flipping and explosion and things like that, and when it's slow-mo, I love them. I love a slow-mo take.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think the first... group who did the slow-mo was the Matrix, right? And then everyone copied.
Yeah, and I like it. I really do. I like me slow-mos. So from there, this is fun. It's funny and interesting at the same time. How Layla / Tomb Raider jumping off the cliffs, and you see the that whole scene. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. That whole scene what?
Oh, that whole scene reminds me of... what is that? Annabelle? Like Conjuring. It reminds me of Conjuring. the monster is jumping from the other side of the cliff or the other side of whatever rock that is while Layla was jumping. And you see the hand peeked. And then she fell. And then it's the dark side, the darkness side, and she got grabbed. That's like a perfect Conjuring scene.
All right, now let's confirm. Is this the same mummy?
Yeah, it is.
Because you know how excited or shocked Stephen was when he said, "I squished it." I squished it.
Yeah.
And then he left. So he got out of that rubble and chased after.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. 100%.
Now, okay. That confirms it. So I really think there was one too. This scene was stupid. I think, I mean, if anyone caught it, I just thought it was ridiculous. Because you hear everyone shooting this very same mummy, dying from this very same mummy. And out of nowhere, Leyla decides to kick his butt. Rip off the arm.
That's why I think she has a god working with her. And that's why I think that was the reason why. Because she, you know, she literally kicked his butt, ripped off his arm. We don't know how that happened. Yeah. You know, it's either she has her own suit, like a Moon Knight suit, and she like just ripped his arm off and then got out of the darkness to show, I don't know, not to show the armor or the suit. And then did the whole thing because she was strong.
Yeah.
She was really strong.
She was crazy. I just thought, man, those guys were dying because of this mummy. And
woman handled.
Oh, okay, that's a good way to say it. I was going to say the B word. But she lady handled that guy. She basically ripped off the arm and kicked him over. But now, I really think that they messed up on that scene. Because when she threw the flare the first time around, it seemed like the pit was empty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when she kicked him over the cliff, you hear a thud.
Mm.
I was like, I think they messed that one up. I thought it was supposed to be an endless pit. Unless he knocked hitting rocks and stuff, I get that. But
that might be her, you know? Like, because she swung the cliff.
And hit the side of the wall.
Yeah, and then grabbed something and hit the side of the wall. But okay. you never really know. I mean, you might be right that it might be a mistake.
I mean, I can't see Disney. I mean, you were just saying the same earlier. Disney is very detailed on these mm-hmm. little timing and things. I'm like, if that's the case, that shouldn't happen. So yeah. We may have heard her hit the wall or the cliff when she saved herself. That could be it.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, if it is what I think it is, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone died and... She basically used her women power.
Yeah. Let me, since we're talking about that mistake with the thud, I saw a TikTok video with, I forgot what's the account. I should give him credit because it wasn't my idea. I wish I caught it, you know, I wish I was the one who caught it. But they do this TikTok videos of, did you know, things like that.
Oh, right.
They're like, do you know this movie? And in this movie, they have this and that. So they said that the theory was Moon Knight, in this episode of Moon Knight, apparently in the comic books, there's a version of Moon Knight where the other creature that's in them is a director, a movie director. So the whole thing is in a movie, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a complete movie. Like whatever is happening to Mark and Steven right now is part of a movie scene. And hence where we're going to get there in a moment, the room thing, you know, where the crazy people and Mark is right. a crazy person and things like that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But they said that the whole show is a movie because for a lot of reasons. There are two scenes in the movies, in the show so far, episode 2 and episode 3. Mm-hmm. Where you saw some mistakes. And we know this because Disney won't typically make mistakes like these. One of them, the first one was when Mark was fighting the thugs in the rooftop with the knife,
mm-hmm.
right? While he was fighting them, you could see a green screen on the floor. Like it's literally, there's a green screen on the floor.
Oh.
Like a legit colored green screen on the floor, and you could see it. And then another scene is while they were running, after the knife scene, he fell asleep. He ended up in a taxi,
right.
And then he's chasing these two guys, right?
Yeah,
you saw a cameraman on one scene. Oh, there was a like legit camera.
I gotta see that.
Right. So they were saying that it was like the whole show is part of a movie. Now, if that's the case, that scene of hearing the thud and the mistake makes so much sense.
Mm.
That it is just a movie. You know?
Hmm. They made a very long movie just to break it out into episodes.
Like just for a movie, yeah. What if Deadpool just show up, you know, like break the fourth wall, and all of them?
Like, hey, you look like me, but yeah, just with a white mask.
Right, right. You look like that bat guy in the other industry, but white.
Oh, man.
A white bat.
White bat.
Yeah. So from there, we have this whole conversation with Harrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with Harrow. I mean, they were going back and forth with the with scenes where, you know, she talks to Harrow about her dad, and then there's Steven finding the casket
of Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. Apparently, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I was just asking him the other night that did anyone not really find Alexander the Great's, you know, body or tomb or anything like that?
Yeah, in real life, nope, they never found it.
Interesting.
They never found it. There's a lot of, like, characters in the old days that they never found their grave. Unless someone found it and they hid it, you know.
Isn't he...
That's a treasure.
Isn't he Roman?
Well, they actually explain... I don't know if it's real, but that's what Steven said. They said that you were born as an Egyptian. That's why he's buried in Egypt.
Well, he said that he was always claimed to be an Egyptian. Like, he claimed that he was born in Egypt or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was written in another language.
Yeah, I thought he was Greek. He's Greek.
I thought Alexander the Great was Rome.
No, Roman. He's Greek because I remember because of 300. The end of 300, there was this young-looking man who went and destroyed Persia. I'm pretty sure he's Greek.
Oh, you might be right. You might be right.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's Greek, then it makes sense.
Yeah.
I could be Roman. I'm confusing him with Julius Caesar. The idea of Julius Caesar.
Yeah, Julius Caesar is Roman.
Yeah.
That's okay. For sure.
But, Alexander the Great. And the rumor of him being gay, is that true?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I know he's the great, you know. For someone just to name yourself, I don't know if he named himself, but someone to be named as the great, you know. Yeah. Not Alexander A. Great or Alexander Great. Nope, the great. Like Alexander the Great, bro. Like, he's the greatest. Right? He's not even the greatest. He is the great, you know. That's it. Alexander
the Great. I am Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I'm the great. You're good? Are you good? Okay, fine. I'm
not greater or greatest. I'm the great.
I'm the great. The only great.
But yeah. So yeah, he finds his tomb, and then it flips back to the scene with Harrow and Layla, where Harrow tries to play with her mind by talking about her father. There's the picture. Father, something Abdullah something. That's all I remember. Abdullah was the most obvious name that I could remember. It was something Abdullah something. And so Harrow, at the same time telling the truth, playing with her mind about her father, you know, showing glimpse of the secret that Mark has never told her about.
Yeah. And she he told her what happened to Abdullah and that Mark was there. This is a confirmation to me that what I said in the first episode, that Mark died with those archaeologists that they explained in news, and then Khonshu saved them.
That's right. Yeah, I guess we can bleed because they're both the same. There's no need to go back and forth the scene. So, yeah, Mark later on explains to her that he's a mercenary. Apparently, yeah. I thought he was excuse me. Sorry, everyone. He was a mercenary. I thought he was another scientist with the father. But apparently not. And I guess Mark had a conscience about him dying because the guy, his partner was greedy, and it left off with the partner. Who do you think the partner is?
I don't know. I can't think of any other partner that he would have. That partner probably is gonna be revealed later.
Yeah.
The partner can be Amit's real avatar. Not Harrow. I feel like Amit is going to kill Harrow. And then that partner who's got greedy will show up, and that will be Amit's avatar. And he's going to be the real villain.
That's an interesting thing.
That will be the fight against villains to villains.
So now we're almost closing in. Is it true that if you have a deep guilt that to make it right, that you will marry the one that you killed? A relative that you killed? I've seen a few movies where the enemy or the, what's the word, that you are a partner with the enemy, that the enemy or the killer or those who witnessed the killer or involved in some way will build such a guilt that they think to make it right, they will go to the relative of that family member, and coincidentally the daughter, and marry her.
I don't know. I've never seen any movies like that.
But okay, if you've never seen it, do you think it's stupid?
I have no idea.
No, what Mark did.
Like married Layla?
Yeah.
I mean, I would marry Layla.
I mean, she's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying that out of guilt. Maybe he came out of good will to say, hey, look, at the moment the door opens, your phone, you want to go out?
But it's like, I don't know. People would do it, you know?
I know people would do it. I mean, I've seen some movies or romantic movies where things are like that, like where a bad guy who decides to become a good guy and try to make things right and somehow meet up with the people that he killed, like somewhat in a way similar story, stories like Rurouni Kenshin or a Samurai X.
Okay,
like he come across all those the people that's related to those who he killed, and he somehow, you know, amends them, makes it right, and or somehow falls in love with an innocent. Not knowing his past or something like that. I don't know. As if it's redemption. Like, if I marry her, give her life, the better life, it's me redeeming myself for the wrong that I did.
Sure. Yeah, I can see it. People adopt the kids that, you know, the kids of parents that they killed. Yeah.
Something like that. Do you think it's out of redemption or out of guilt?
I have no idea. I mean, it could be both, you know? Like, nobody's going to be taking care of this person because I killed the person that they're taking care of them. So now I'm going to... Who else is going to take care of them? It's like the idea of, like, I didn't... It's not your fault, you know? It's not your fault that your parents are this, and I'm not going to put it on you that I killed your parents. So I'm going to take care of you. You know, I mean, Mark even said that I didn't kill him.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's true. He didn't.
Yeah.
Though she comes back with another response, but you brought the killer to him.
Right. All right. So before we go further with that one, let me backtrack real quick with Harrow saying wake up. Yeah, he like just yelled at Layla saying wake up. What I mean, of course, it's going to be like, you know, wake up to the reality of what's going on. But it's more of a, it's the idea that Layla has a different personality, or Layla has a different person in him, or she's an avatar of some sort that she doesn't know about. And Harrow is trying to tell her, wake up, you know, or show yourself or do something. You know what I mean? Like in that idea. That might be so too far-fetched or just a reach, but it might just be, you know, just Harrow telling her, listen, I'm telling the truth, you know, stop denying the truth. Wake up. I'm telling you right now what's going on.
Yeah. I just thought the wake up, the last line was wake up, was a little weird, but makes sense now after your explanation.
No, I don't think it's weird. I think that's a Harrow kind of principle, you know, like the leader, a cultish leader kind of thing. Like they would say bizarre things like that.
I would have something, he would say something, I guess it's a typical line of someone trying to snap out of it. like don't get out of denial or something like that. A better weighted line versus just wake up.
But I feel like that's it. I think that's what you could say. It's shorter than anything else, and it's more cultish. You know, like a leader of a cultish kind of saying.
I guess.
You know, like the cultish people, when they say things, it's like it's too bizarre. Like, what are you saying right now? You know, you're trying hard to be so too deep.
I guess. Because
you're a leader of a cultish group.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess. I guess that's fitting if you say it that way.
Yeah. So from there, we saw the interaction with... when Steven found the Amit's stone.
Yep.
Amit's rock.
In the mouth of?
Yeah, in the throat. In the throat of Alexander. I thought
it was more in the gut. Like, he was deeply reaching.
No, right? He said gullet. So it's like right here in the throat. That's the gullet. Yeah, the gullet. When he said that, Layla said... That's actually how they figured out that it was Alexander, because Amit's old avatar was Alexander the Great. That was his
Amit's old avatar. They said it was an Egyptian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pharaoh.
Yeah, it was Alexander the Great. And then we go and have that interaction between Layla and Steven. Yep. It's like, are you listening? And then Steven said, well, I hope not, he's dead.
That was funny.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was funny. There was also that interaction between them two, Steven and Mark, when he entered the room and he was talking to himself. Like, he told her the truth. That was unexpected. You know, remember that line?
Yeah, I do.
There's that. And what was the other thing that he said? Told her the truth, and then what was you kissed her and then told her the truth. He says that you kissed her out of surprise, like because we were just saying that he hit him when he after the kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's asking, so you kissed her and something like that, and then he tells him, well, you told her the truth, that was unexpected.
Yeah,
and then it led to that part, the interaction between Steven and Layla, revealing the truth between her and Mark comes back, the fighting guy. Now that axe.
Hold on, when Layla said, "Is he listening?" It's like, "What is going on?" And then, and then Layla said something to Steven, and then I love that Steven caught on. It's like, that was his. This is like the things where people are arguing and it's getting awkward. So I'm like, I'm gonna step out. So it's like he didn't even ask Steven to. He didn't even ask Mark to take over. Waka, let me finish my thought. He didn't even say like, Mark, take over. He's like, I don't think she's talking to me, and this is getting awkward. I'm gonna let, you know, like, get out of here and like talk to her. And then it's like, I'm out. All right, we gotta get out of here. I'll explain to you later what happened. And of course, Layla didn't let him. And he explained the whole thing. The weird part to me is, so how if. They didn't mention how long ago it was. Did this whole thing happen when... I guess it could be like Layla is already old enough. I feel like that whole thing happened while Layla's still young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, didn't it mention where... like 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
I don't know. I don't remember.
They
might have, but I don't remember.
I was going to say 20 years ago. It was like... That means she was a kid and Mark hasn't changed.
Yeah. I actually don't remember that they mentioned any years. I don't they might have. I don't remember. But when her dad died, I was like, man, could she be like just a little kid when you know her dad died, and then Khonshu took over Mark, and he didn't age at all. It's like, and then you know they just met, they got married.
I was just thinking like that. Other or that Khonshu just was somehow found a body near to him years later and just brought him back to life. But then he said, you were almost dead when I found you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You were practically dead when I found you. Actually, that's what he said. So he was already dead. So we don't know how old, how long he was dead.
Right. No, I have no idea. But like I said, it could be like they're about the same age. And
now that leads to the question that has Mark always had a, you know, a double personality, but way before he died?
Or is that, no. Well, yes.
Split personality, I should say.
Yes, because Steven mentioned that you've always been there since I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember when he said, you've always been there since I was a kid? You know, how hard it is from dating. It's hard to do this and that. Mm. Like, he said that. Like, you've always been there since I was a kid.
Wow.
So, my theory is it's either that was the case, or Khonshu created this alter ego, like a Steven alter ego, with his own, like the whole history of his life is just a creation. Like, none of those exist,
right?
But yeah,
that could be it. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, after hearing that he died and coming back, I was thinking maybe he had a split personality issue since he was a kid, but it confirms it now that, yeah, you're right. Man, that must have been tough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm leaning more towards in Khonshu created all that.
Just to hide?
Just to hide.
I mean, then if that was the case, why the third one? Why the unknown ego that we haven't met yet?
To have the person who can kill. Because I don't think Mark and Steven has a gut to kill people.
I mean, Mark has a gut to kill, but he has a conscience versus maybe the third.
No, he wasn't. Remember the kid? He wasn't trying to kill the kid. It's like he's just a kid. So you need someone that can kill no matter what.
Well, I mean, like he has killed before, but he has a conscience of whom. He has a conscience of whom he's killing. Like, yeah, he's a kid versus.
No, because remember, you forgot what Steven said. Based on your track record, you have no problems in killing. And he said, I didn't do that.
Then why did Mark not say anything to Steven when they were, you know, nagging him down in the cop car?
The what?
You know, in the cop car where Mark was being revealed a little bit more about, you know, of who he killed, killing the archaeologist, execution style, you know, the two cops.
Yeah, because he was in there.
Yeah, but he was also one of them that was there.
Yeah, like, and that's killed because he wouldn't. I don't know, like maybe he's like not trying to tell him the truth of what really had happened, you know? Because Steven is a scaredy cat, so he will tell everything to Harold.
I guess.
Because, I mean, it's clear now that Mark didn't kill those archaeologists. He's one of the archaeologists.
No, he was a mercenary.
Yeah, but he was with those archaeologists. Remember, that was her dad. That was the whole idea.
Mm.
Layla's dad was one of those archaeologists.
Yeah, I just thought that he was. They were just muscled to come and work to guard them for whatever. Partner got greedy. But what I'm saying is that Mark has the ability to kill, but when he's Mark, he can choose whom to kill, whether he can let that person live or die. Versus this other guy that we haven't known yet, who has no shame to kill despite being a kid.
Right, right.
That's what I was trying to get at. That I'm saying that Mark may have more of a conscience of killing someone versus the third unknown person.
Well, because your question was, why the need for the third person? And my answer is the third person has no problem at all killing people. I was answering your third question. I'm not saying that Mark decide not to kill or to kill. I'm saying Khonshu is saying, I need someone that doesn't matter. I just need the job done.
But that would be against Khonshu's you know, belief, you know, for his idea of justice and whatever. If he just want to get the job done by killing random people.
They weren't random people. Wait, what random people are you talking about? We already established that he didn't kill the architects. It wasn't Mark or Steven who killed the architects. The archaeologist, sorry.
It was who then?
It was his friend who got greedy.
And then he got framed.
Yeah.
Okay. It's starting to connect.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's still an assumption who really killed those. I mean, we're just connecting all the lines and dots based on the conversation. Right. But most likely, in my opinion, it's most likely Mark's friend who got greedy and killed Layla's dad, killed him and the other archaeologist. Mm. And of course, assuming that those are the same archaeologists that they mentioned in the first or second episode of the show. But I don't think Mark was killing any just random innocent people.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Because when Mark... actually, I'll take it back. Who... well, I don't know. Because it can be, you know, first episode when Steven showed up in that area, when he first woke up in a different place,
right?
In the place of Harrow, and he like fell asleep and then woke up again and there's blood everywhere. I mean, I could say that's Mark, but we don't know. That could be the third person who showed up in a suit and started killing people,
right?
You know what I mean? So we have no idea. That might not be Mark. But so far, we haven't seen... We saw Mark fighting those guys with the sarcophagus in a Moon Knight suit and, you know...
Right.
Slashing them and shooting at them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Out
of to protect Layla or to just to get out of there because they're in a corner. You know, the corner. Man.
Now that I think about it, it could be the third... You know, personality that went bloody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was the second episode where Steven tried to run away. You know, that switch off.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I can't believe Mark didn't even think about it. Or like, you know, what did you do or anything like that.
Right.
Which is assuming it was Mark.
Yeah. I know. Or Mark didn't, like, he didn't even, like, Mark doesn't even have any idea that it happened. You know?
True.
Like, I feel like when... No, because...
Just like that knife fight?
Think about it. Because when Mark showed up after the knife stuck to him, and he asked Steven, what did you do, Steven? And Steven said, I didn't do that. So even if you are inside that body... You still have no recollection what has happened.
So depending on who's taking over.
Yeah, who's taking over and who's that takeover allow to see.
That is scary.
You know? So that means, with that said, if that is the case, you know, we're still assuming it's not a for sure thing that there's a third personality, even though in the last part of the show, we can talk about that in a moment. We're still not sure if there's a third personality, but based off that, I don't think Mark has an idea when this third personality is killing people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Man, it must be scary to have a split personality.
Right. Right. So from there, we see... you said something with the axe.
Yes. I thought the axe that was put in the, you know, the grave, I thought they were like dull axe. Like when he picked it up,
mm-hmm.
and attacked one of the guys, you hear a slash.
Yeah.
Like, well, was it that sharp?
Yeah.
And then he throws it at somebody and he just like, oh, apparently.
Was it in the head? I thought it was in the chest.
Or in the chest. It would have been fitting if it was there.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was the chest.
It could have been the chest.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't think it was that sharp. I thought it was like a dull, rounded.
Well, it's made of gold. And we talked about this before. The gold doesn't tarnish.
What? I didn't think it was tarnished. I thought it was shaped as a like a.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You didn't think that it was a legitimate axe.
Yeah, I didn't think it was sharp.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, you might be right, but I mean, it's Alexander the Great, so.
Well, no, because I've seen, I'm not saying I've seen him, but it, I guess it's just only based on movies. Only mm-hmm. been to a museum once or twice.
Yeah.
Where they show something like that, and it's a rounded, dull area at the tip of the.
Right.
That
it's axe. Just for cosmetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it was sharp.
Another thing that I noticed when he picked up, I could be wrong, but I might just be connecting things. When he picked up the axe, you saw like a gold-plated shield or something, mm-hmm. right? It reminds me a lot of Layla's necklace during that fight scene that turned to a stabby weapon. That gives me an idea that Layla and Alexander the Great are connected.
Right.
That means it also confirms that Layla might be taken over by a deity, like an Egyptian deity. Like she's somewhat an avatar.
Now that I think about it, that was random where she brought those necklace daggers out of nowhere.
Yep. Yep. Mm.
So maybe she does have something in secret that even Mark didn't know.
Right. Right. Yeah. From there, we see...
he gets shot.
Harrow shot him. That gun. What does that gun remind you? That specific gun.
Indiana Jones.
Well, sure, because it's around that era. It's Red Skull's gun in Captain America.
No, right? Really?
Yeah. It's the same gun.
Wait.
Yeah.
I thought he took the gun from the other guy. It wasn't something that he carried.
I don't know if he took it. Because I know he just stopped him and then he pulled out a gun and then shot him.
Oh, I swear I thought he pulled him out because it was right next to him. Mm-mm. That got axed. And so before he fell, he took it out.
No, he got axed, but his arms were like this. Yeah. And then he just shot him. That reminds me of... It's either... Whatever. If it's from the guy... Or not, or it's him.
It was.
It's just funny that it was exact the same gun from Captain America, like the Red Skull.
Ah, nice catch.
Yeah,
nice catch.
Like that whole villain thing.
So he got Hydra.
Yeah, right. So he got shot twice. He fell in a puddle, and then we went to this weird.
I know.
Super weird place. Like it's a complete jump to a weird place to. Like what the heck is this? It's like a multiverse.
I watched that scene twice or three. Well, I watched it three times, but I've seen that scene over and over. It's like he fell on a very shallow puddle, mm-hmm. water, and I thought like he fell into it. Then it switched to a scene where he kept falling and falling. Like, hold up, didn't he fall in the shallow water?
Yeah.
So I went back and forth, but makes me think he is now falling into his, you know. I mean, it looked like another world, but it felt like he fell into his conscience, like in some subconscious or other world in his head.
Yeah.
But it led to that. Everything's so white and so weird. Some people that we saw died are in there as well. The cops.
Hold on. From before we got there, we went to, we saw a black boy with a, the Steven character with the British accent, like the Indiana Jones, British Indiana Jones guy named Steven. Like, don't worry, this is a skull, it cannot hurt you or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
And then we shifted to, it's like the older version of that Indiana Jones. So it's like, oh, doing bingo. And did you notice his bingo? It doesn't make any sense. It's like he went from, I think he said N70. 70 is O, not N, in the game bingo. Uh-huh. So the numbers that he's saying does not make any sense. I'm trying to make something out of it. I'm trying to see if it means something. I couldn't decipher it. I don't know. I have no idea. But whatever he's yelling at, the letters and the numbers, not all of them, but most of them does not match up. It's not the same ones.
So it was just a random number?
Yeah. It was just random things that he's saying that matching up in bingo. Although he's saying the B-I-N-G-O, you know.
Right.
It's just the numbers are not matching up. And we saw it was Mark. Yeah. Mark in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Mark in a wheelchair with Layla. Layla was a nurse or a patient?
She was a patient.
Yeah, well, she was also a patient. Okay.
That, since we're on that, I was listening to that line, and it made me think that Layla there is a greedy person. Mm. I mean, she knows that they're together, but she's greedy. Like, because this is how I know it. It's like, you won. And then she grabs the paper.
Yeah.
Says it, we won.
Yeah.
And then she looks at the guy before she says it. I promise this time I'll share it with you.
Uh-huh.
I won.
Yeah.
She went from you to we to I.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were married or not, but they apparently know each other very well in that scenario.
Yeah, in that realm.
And then again, there were other characters there. I mean, again, a few people that we saw that were dead, like the two cops, the black lady, and the white guy that died on the table.
Yeah. When he's trying to talk to Steven in the reflection, of course, Steven's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
Or the reflection is not responding. He stood up. He was tied into the wheelchair just the way he was tied in when he was laying on the bed.
Right.
When Steven was laying on the bed. And his toy Moon Knight fell off his hand.
Right.
That gives you that idea. He's like, am I just psychopathically thinking about all these things and how I tie my foot on the bed or in bed frame, bed something.
And now he's just waking up.
And then with the Moon Knight character, am I just dreaming all these things? Are these not real? And that's what the show is giving us too, the idea that these are not real. None of these real. You know, same thing with Layla, and all that. And then we saw those two cops, Teddy and Kennedy. Yeah. Teddy and Kennedy.
Yep.
Helping Steven again. It's like giving you the idea that none of these are real. You're just psychopathically thinking all of these things. And then we met Harrow, the physicians or psychiatrist, whatever you call that, the therapist
or someone that everyone talks to in that crazy house.
Yeah, in that crazy house. And Mark started to connect everything. Like, you see the sculptures, the Egyptian sculptures that are in there.
Yes.
You know, the Amit sculpture, the cane. He was looking at the cane.
The picture.
The picture where the first episode was. Yep. And then...
the reflection on the mirror about his shoes.
Yeah. The whatever art thing he has on his desk, which is the pyramid. It was the pyramid, you know. And then the reflection on his shoes. When I watched it the second time, I kept going back and forth while he was walking. If he is not wearing any sandals, if he's not wearing those sandals. But he was wearing sandals. He was wearing,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought for some reason he was wearing white pants, and in the mirror, it was the reality of what he's actually wearing.
Right, right.
But
it was the same way.
That's right.
And he stood up. He tried to run away. The Teddy and Kennedy showed up again, put him on the ground. And then the weird part to me is when Harrow say, don't hurt him. Like, what is the purpose of that? Like, why are they saying that don't hurt him? Or like, Harrow is so sympathetic. I mean, is that the way of like, they're trying just to fool us that, yeah, none of these make any sense. Like, what you saw in the first three episodes of the show, they're all lies.
It was all just a hallucination, a dream.
Yeah. Harrow is actually a nice guy, and he's just trying to help Mark. Yeah.
That's crazy. And then where it kind of clicked is like, and Steven. He's like, you know Steven? Yeah, I know Steven, but I'm here to talk to you, Mark.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I kind of started to feel like maybe this is his reality until he runs down the hall and then.
Saw another Egyptian tomb.
Well, before that, like, he goes down the hall and then all the lights down the hall.
Oh yeah, shifting.
Swayed. Yeah. It gave me like a what's that movie? Inception.
Yeah.
Concept. That's crazy. And then we met up with he goes into another room, which I'm surprised he didn't realize there was a tomb there. And then the tomb appeared, and who was it? It was Steven.
Mm-hmm. It was Steven, and he started asking. It's like he asked him, "What's the last thing you remember?" We got shot.
Harold shot us. I'm right. I'm not going crazy. It's true. Like, all these things are right.
So Mark almost believed the situation that he was crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So from there, we saw another open room with a moving Egyptian tomb.
Yeah.
And this is like a kind of confirmation that there might be a third personality in there that we don't know about.
And
he was in there.
It was colored red. I don't know if the color has any significance, but the tomb was red.
Yeah.
Or the sarcophagus was red.
Yeah. I don't know if that's related to anything, but all we know is there's another moving one, just like what happened to Stephen. It's moving. Like, let me out, let me out. But they didn't let him out. The end of the hall and open door, boom. Hippopotamus. Hello.
That was my favorite scene where they both cried. One screams out a high pitch and the other one screaming like a guy.
Right, right. The looks on their faces, though.
It was funny. Epic.
It was funny.
I kind of believe that hippo person is Khonshu's girl.
Oh, no, it's not. No, Hathor? That wasn't Hathor. I Googled it. It wasn't Hathor.
Oh.
I was hoping it was Hathor, but it wasn't.
Oh, man.
I forgot the name, but it wasn't Hathor. It's another Egyptian god.
I thought it was Hathor because, you know, and she had a black, or not a black voice. It's like, she had a high-pitched voice, but I felt like she had a black soul.
Yeah. Although the hippopotamus in Madagascar is voiced by a black girl, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so it makes sense. She reminds me of that, the girl in Madagascar, because of the voice and the cheeriness and the jittiness, you know.
I'm looking forward to who she is.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited for the episode 5 because that, you know, like the closing part of this whole buildup and what's going to happen is closing in. And I love that. I love a good, you know, a good ending. I love the ending part of, here comes all the buildup and then it's going to let it out. Ugh. Satisfaction.
I wish it did started there as the episode, the pilot began that way, and then like probably 10 minutes or 15 minutes towards the end of the episode, it's like 2 days earlier or something like that.
Oh, really?
Like there's that shocking.
Yeah.
And then they'll make you think, what's going on? Things are already happening.
Or it doesn't have to be like a 2 days earlier. Because remember, the the show started with Mark being strapped on the bed. Like, what if that was his dream?
Uh-huh.
That would make more sense if it started from there, where it's just a dream.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because now, if it was just a dream, you know, if he's saying like, oh, that was just a dream, I'm still strapped on my bed. Everything else that had happened might be a dream.
Mm.
Like the show will end him waking up on the bed strapped on the door frame.
True. Do you think it just hit me because it was an Egyptian and most Egyptians are like what Khonshu said, are spending time in the overvoid? Do you think this is the overvoid?
Potentially. Yeah, sorry. Potentially.
Tell me not to yawn. Look at you.
Because because when you yawn, you make sound like,
Okay.
Yeah. It might be because the hippo was there, you know? It might be the overboard.
Or do you think it's, it could be a cheesy thing. Since it's a hippopotamus, this could be a hypnosis?
No, I don't think so. I think he really did get shot and went there.
Well, I believe it. He probably went to the overvoid since he was an avatar and probably have the lingering spirit of the god or the deity he had.
Right.
Or energy.
Right. What if that was the Layla's god, you know, the hippo?
Ooh.
Yeah, what if that was her god?
Did you? So who was the hippo?
I don't know. I looked it up. It wasn't a god that was mentioned in the show yet so far.
I mean,
I think.
Was there an actual hippo god? In,
oh, yeah, yeah. There's a.
What did it describe her as when you looked it up?
I don't know. I just looked up the name. I see. That's all I did. Just looked up the name.
Ooh.
Just to confirm. I looked up the name to know what. Not because I want to know the name. I looked up the name to make sure that
if that was Hathor or not. Yeah.
Okay. Who does Hathor look like?
I have no idea. I didn't.
Since they're all animal looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them, I guess, for the most part.
Hmm. Well, that's all I got. That's what I was thinking of. You know, it could be the Overvoid. Could be, like you said, Layla's deity. It would be crazy though. That deity is mean just to put her in that.
Yeah.
In that world. I'm looking forward to the next episode now.
I know. Me too. Well, that's it. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and like this video. Tell your friends about this. Man, if you haven't seen the episode, the Moon Knight episode in Disney, and you watch this whole podcast, well, I'll congratulate you because you most likely already know what's going to happen in the show.
All right.
We want to say thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please like and comment down below if you have any reaction, anything that you didn't like, anything that you like, let us know. We thank you guys. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Later.